Father, we honor you. We thank you for, again, your tangible presence. Thank you for honoring us with the same. We enter the word and we beseech you that let that tangible presence go with us to open up the word. Anoint me afresh. Help me speak as I should, even as an oracle of God. Let your words, my tongue, be like the pen of a ready writer. Let that word, your word, flow freely from you through me to the people and do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. So that, Lord God, I will speak as I should. Lord, I also pray that in every heart, our wills will become more humble. Our minds will be more enlightened with revelation knowledge. Our emotions will be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I ask that the power of the Spirit of God be released in great and insufficient measure to back the words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth to heal, to deliver, to break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. Father, I pray that, Lord God, you will enable me, have mercy on me, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing mentioned in their individual lives, all agreed individually and said, amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to continue our message that I started last week, understanding spiritual forces. This is a very, very important strategic message as it concerns the intense spiritual warfare that we are now in all over the earth. I'm going to be saying a few things prophetically as I go into the rest of the message today. Let me just do a brief recap. Spiritual forces emanate from the hearts of spiritual beings to create, manipulate, and control all things, both spiritual and physical. And events. An event is something that happens. When events take place, they are actually a result of an interplay of spiritual forces, which will not determine the event, when it takes place, where it takes place, how it takes place. One of the greatest lessons you can learn as a Christian is that all physical events have a spiritual origin. This is a truth that is not very, commonly known. People think things just happen. You hear of things like coincidence. You hear of people using words like fortunately. You hear of people saying things like I was lucky. There's no such thing. What we call luck is actually the mercy of God in operation. And the mercy of God operates on everybody, good and bad. Christian and non-Christian. The Bible says his tender mercies are over all his works. To symbolize this, the Lord Jesus speaking, he said that God allows his rain to come both on the good and the bad. That's both physically and spiritually. Rain just means, you know, the life of God, the power of God from the air. You know, the sun to shine both on the good and the evil, both physically and spiritually. Jesus is the Son of righteousness. You know, you'll find bad people doing good things occasionally. Who enable them to do that? God from the outside. But they're not aware of it. You know, you've heard this expression before. Oh, that person woke up on the right side of bed this morning. He just was in a good mood. Those things don't just happen. Somebody somewhere must have prayed. Or God moved sovereignly to operate on that person that day, you know. So that, you know, he was able to, do what God wanted him to do. And he wouldn't even realize it was God because they are invisible forces. So you're not even aware of the fact that, you know, there's a force coming in. You just feel good. You just have this thought, just have this feeling, and you just go ahead and do this. But you don't realize that there, behind the scenes, invisible spiritual forces are at work that determined some of the things that you're doing. It is for this reason, we're going to get there. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to say, you know, what you say and what you think are so important. Why? Because you are a spirit being created in the image and the likeness of God. And when you begin to speak, the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. You are releasing spiritual forces, good or bad, that will now determine what happens to you. I said this many years ago, and I think it was Dr. Akinjeje. He wrote it in the form of a mathematical equation and showed it to me after the service. I laughed. You know, he did it as a kind of, don't worry your head, you know, as a kind of integral, those of us in the maths, you know. What you are today is a sum total of everything you have said, you have thought, and you have acted upon to date. That is a fact. What you are today is an integral. The word integral just means to integrate, to put together. Is a sum total of the words you have spoken, the thoughts you have had, the actions you have taken. If you put all of it together, spiritually speaking now, if you integrate it, you know, what's going to happen is you're going to get where you are today. You want to change what is going to happen tomorrow, you have to start changing what you are thinking, what you are saying, and what you are doing. If you don't change it, you're still going to have the same thing you're saying today. It is one of the reasons, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we're talking about spiritual forces. It's one of the reasons why it is a height of folly and ignorance to keep saying what you have now. You're going to stay there. If you keep saying what you feel now, you're going to stay there. That's why faith calls the things which are not as though they are. And then ultimately they will become. Because when faith begins to say what is not as if it is, it begins to release a spiritual force to create it. And then with time, that thing will become a reality. So if I'm feeling tired, or I'm feeling sick, and I keep saying, oh, I'm feeling tired, and I'm feeling sick, then you're going to stay sick and tired. But if I am feeling sick and tired, and I begin to say what God's word says, and I begin to say, let the weak say I am strong. I am strong, it is well with me. Greater is he that's in me. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I begin to release spiritual forces that's changing, that will begin to change how I'm feeling, and after a while, I will no longer be sick and tired. So if you keep saying what you have, you will keep having what you say. If you want to change what you have, you have to start changing what you say and what you think, because they release the spiritual forces of, I just got this text from heaven now, honey, your personal universe. Each one of us has his personal universe. That's what I also call your sphere of influence. The world you are living in now, when I say world now, I'm talking about the events and everything, was created by you. So, oh, I'm living in hell. You did it. You know what the Bible says? It says the tongue is set on fire of hell. It's you. You've been speaking the words of hell. Words of fear. Words of doubt. Words of dishonesty. Words of, you know, pride. So you, the things you are experiencing now were actually created by you, you know, in conjunction with Satan or God, depending on which type of words you are speaking. God will only back his own words. He will not back a word that is not his own. And Satan will back negative words. Words that steal, words that kill, and words that destroy are the ones that Lucifer and his agents back. Words of life and healing and power are the words that God and the angels of God back. So, spiritual forces are, they emanate, that is, they come out of the hearts and the mouths of spirit beings. Of course, the most powerful spirit being is God. And that is why it is what God says that ultimately will come to pass and will crush, if I can use that expression, all other spiritual forces. It may take time, but that's what's going to happen. God, thy word is settled forever in heaven. What God? Because God is the most powerful. He's the one who created everything. Even the angels and the evil spirits were created. Now, they were not created evil by God. They were created by God, and then they distorted what God made to create evil. Evil is simply a distortion of good. You need to understand this. These are great spiritual truths. We've taught a lot about this in Foundations of Faith, but I'm expatiating it here. You have to understand that Satan cannot create. Why? He is a created being. He has limited power. He's not like God. He's not omnipotent. But what he does, what he can do, is that he can distort what has been created. What a distortion of good is what is called evil. See, there is nothing God made that is evil. It's only when it is distorted. I was saying this during the marriage ceremony, I think two Saturdays ago. You know, and I explained it this way. I'm sure I've said it here in church before, but let me say it now because it is relevant to the message that I'm preaching. And it is this. You know, everything you can see is made out of elementary particles. You know, protons, neutrons, and electrons. That's in elementary chemistry and physics. So oxygen, for example, which you breathe now that is making you healthy, has a certain number of protons, it has a certain number of electrons, it has a certain number of neutrons, you know, that, you know, form a atom of oxygen that come together to form a molecule of oxygen, which you're breathing. The atoms, the protons and the neutrons, the electrons, they are fundamental. They don't change. Now, if you take that oxygen molecule and you put a force on it, and you take some electron out, you put some protons in, and you manipulate it, that oxygen will change to nitrogen, and that nitrogen will kill you. If all the oxygen in this room now was instantly and suddenly converted to nitrogen, we won't be able to breathe. Now, the electrons, the protons and the neutrons don't change. What changed was their configuration. That's what spiritual forces do. They go into the created world, into what God has made. The good ones align with the will of God. We call it good. The bad ones distort, and we call it bad. That is the origin of good and evil. The good news in all of that is this. There is nothing evil in your life you can't change. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. You're in control. Nothing. No matter how... That is a deeper understanding of the scripture. All things work together for good. See, when you are releasing spiritual forces in great and sufficient measure, it doesn't matter how much bad Satan has brought into your life, you just keep changing it. Glory be to God. You just keep changing it to good. So all things, good things and bad things, will work together for your good. When you release God's spiritual forces, I'm going to now put a ride on it. This is where people don't like Pastor Olubi's preaching. Insufficient measure. That's the issue here. Many times we release, but probably not in sufficient measure. So we're not able to counteract the evil that has come in and manipulate it and change it sufficiently to bring about good. But that's why you need to learn how to pray. That's why he also said in James chapter 5 that it is the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. The Amplified Bible says, makes tremendous dynamic power available. Look at it. Tremendous power available, dynamic. The word dynamic comes from the word dynamo, which means to move. In physics, there's a practice we call it dynamics. We study motion. So when you say something is dynamic, so where, you see the power that is coming out of your mouth as you pray is moving. Then it hits the things that are around you in your atmosphere, in your sphere of influence, and it begins to change them. It's dynamic. So the word dynamic means that it's a constant thing. It's something that is happening it's constantly changing. It's constantly happening. That's why you have to be very careful what you say. Over these years, by the grace and the mercy of God, I yet not I, but the grace of God who is with me, you will not hear anything negative from my mouth. No matter how bad the situation is, I will start saying, God will have mercy on us. It will get better. Let's pray about it. I don't go negative. I never agree with what Satan is doing. Because if you do, you're going to keep the situation. Yes, it's a fact, but it's not the truth. That's a bad situation. It's fact. But I'm going to change it from the fact to a truth by saying the right thing. Are you listening to me? Okay. So, we looked at all of this in our last teaching. Last week, God is upholding all things by the word of his power. Through faith, we understand that the world in their successive generations were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen are made out of things which are not seen. Or, let's put it another way, the visible is made from the invisible. And it's very interesting, you know, physics has now come to the same conclusion in the last 100 years through, you know, what we call quantum mechanics and all of that. All those things, they're invisible. You can't see an electron. You can see its effect. In fact, there's an area of physics, which is some of my own area of specialty. I still study all of those things, which is called quantum field theory. And it's given us the most precise equations. It's still going to get better because there's things we don't know, you know. But we now know that everything are forces, spiritual. They're forces. They don't call them spiritual. They're forces. An electron, you think is a particle, but it's not really it's not just a particle like a small tiny ball. It's actually energy that is operating in the electromagnetic field. It moves like a wave. It's a force. A photon, light, is a force. We know that now from physics, you know. That's what we do in theoretical physics, you know. We calculate the interaction of these forces, how they hit together, you know, and create things. You know, we have annihilation, where you have two, a positron and an electron. A positron is an electron with a positive charge. Then an electron normally has a negative charge. So when the two of them hit together, they annihilate and then they create energy. Then energy can now form, and it can form to one electron, and this one will fly that way and fly. They know that now. Only find out what the Bible said. The things which are seen, they are made of the things which cannot be seen. This is a scientific fact. It's a spiritual fact. And that's why as Christians, we must not be ignorant. Now, I want to look at a few more scriptures, which I couldn't look at because of time, the last time, you know, talking about this interaction of spiritual forces, you know. When the enemy, which is the devil, when he releases power, and he has power, it was God who made him. He was an angel, you know, created perfect first. You find that in Ezekiel chapter 12, 28, you know, says perfect from the day in which you were created, you know. But iniquity was found in him, you know, because he separated from God. He wanted to be independent of God. So every good thing in him did not have the spiritual force that comes only from God to keep it in its correct configuration. So you see, that's what death is. death is separation from God. When you separate from God, the life and the power that comes from God that will keep your configuration good is no longer there. So the configuration inside you will now get distorted, and then it becomes evil. He said, thou was perfect from the day that thou was created until iniquity was found or seen in you. That's why you must stay close to God. Every created being, by virtue of the fact that you are a created being, it is an intrinsic property of being a created being, is automatically dependent on the creation. You can't help it because you are created. The only three people that are self-existent are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Every other thing and person is created, and for you to maintain your created configuration by which God made you, you have to stay in contact with the Creator to keep receiving the life and the power from the Creator to keep that configuration intact. Once the lifeline or the supply between the Creator and the creation is cut off, once it is severed, the creation, what is inside him, becomes distorted. And that is the origin of evil. So God didn't make evil. God made everything good. But created beings of who he gave a free will to some degree, have a choice. When they separate from God, then the power from God is upholding all things by the word of his power. That power is no longer incident and is no longer working in that created being. So everything is that created being now becomes distorted. That's how Satan became Lucifer. I got another tweet. And that's what will happen to any Christian or any human being that stays away from God of their own free will. The good in you will just, it will just flip. The only way to keep it in the correct configuration is to stay with God. That's why you're going to have to, you know, stay with God all your life, or throughout eternity. See, we don't do life scriptures only because of the devil. We do life scriptures because that's what keeps us going. Have you noticed that even in heaven, that they go to the fountain of living water and they are drinking in heaven? Oh, not hell, in heaven. Why? They have to keep in contact with God and keep receiving life. That's the only thing that's going to keep you good. Only God is good. No wonder the second person of the Godhead said. The guy came to him and said, good master, why are you calling me good? You don't have a clue what you're talking about. This will be translation. Only God is good. And the only thing that makes any man good is if he's in contact with God. Separate him from God and the man becomes vain. I don't know if I'm talking to you. You now begin to understand the strategic and vital importance of prayer. Because that's what I do when I pray. I stay in contact with God so that the life of God, the forces of God, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience, these are the virtues, these are the character of God. They are spiritual forces that are coming out of God, will also be coming into me, and then they will make me love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. And because God is the most powerful person in the universe, and it is God who made all things, those forces, what we call the fruit of the Spirit, it is sad that, you know, we've thought that the fruit of the Spirit are just, you know, some weak emotions. Why is nobody meek, you know, in natural fallen thinking? We think the person is weak. Say, don't mind him. He's a mumu. Meek. Just, you know, follow, meek, you know. That's one of those powerful forces there. God is meek. And you know what Jesus said? He said, take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. It's a powerful force. It's much more powerful than pride. And you know what? All the proud are going to bow before the meek. Are you listening to me? That's why you need to release those forces in your life daily. That's why we have all those prayers. I have more love, joy, peace. What am I doing? I'm releasing the spiritual forces of God into my mind, my will, my emotions, my body, my circumstances, so that it is the will of God that is sustained, that is created and sustained by those spiritual forces. And I want to release them in sufficient measure. That's why I pray. And not just pray, I pray effectually, I pray fervently, so my prayer will avail much. I will be releasing those spiritual forces in great and sufficient measure, so that the evil around me will not be able to penetrate and influence me in a negative way. I said this about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if I said it last week or I said it in School of the Spirit, School of Perfection. You know, Jesus was born of a virgin. And so he did not inherit the sin nature. That's why he had to be born of a virgin. If he had been born of a natural fallen man, the sin nature would have passed across through the sperm. It would have passed into his physical body. That's why all of us are sinners by nature when we're born from born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That's why we have to be born again. When we're born again, we're now connected back to God spiritually. And when we're now connected back to God spiritually, we can now have access to the life of God that can now change that distortion that is inside our flesh. And, you know, that's why the Bible says, you know, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us, it's your responsibility, but it's God who does it, who helps you to do it, rather. But you are the one who takes initiative. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting, that's what perfection is all about, you know, holiness in the fear of God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was born of a virgin, so he didn't have the sin nature in him. But he was surrounded by the sin nature, the prince of the power of the air. So he had a challenge all his life. He had to keep, that's why Jesus had to pray. That's why he prayed so much. He had to keep in contact with God to keep releasing those spiritual forces from his heart, through his mouth, through his thoughts, so that he would keep that sin nature that from the outside and not never allowed it to penetrate in. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. The man did that thing for 33 years. And not once. The Bible says he was tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. Give him another clap offering. You know, what a lot of Christians don't understand is this. They think Jesus had an easy ride because he was Son of God and he was sinless. The Bible says, though he were a son, though he had the life of God in him, though he was had nature of God, yet he had to learn obedience by the things that he suffered. He didn't have his task was infinitely more difficult than our own. If you sin today, the blood of Jesus cleanses you. Jesus had no blood to cleanse him. That's why they said the lion of the tribe of Judah had prevailed to open the. You know, if all the angels in heaven respect Jesus, because you know they saw what happened when he was on earth. They saw what he had to go through. How he had to suffer self-denial. How he had to pray. How he had to fast in order to keep those spiritual forces flowing in him. And never once was anything from the outside able to come in to contaminate him. Now, I want us to look at a few scriptures. We looked at a few last week. But I want to look at a few more today. You know, that's why I gave this initial background, because it's explained a lot of things. But now let's put some scripture behind some of the things I have said. You know, the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. What does that mean? It means that the God that is in you, the life of God, the power of the Holy Spirit that is in you, is greater than the spiritual forces that are behind the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is why it shouldn't overcome you. If it overcomes you, you made provision for it. That's what the Bible says. It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Overcomes the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All those lusts, we looked at this last week, they are all spiritual forces. they affect the physical body, they affect the mind, they affect, but their origin is not psychological and it's not physical. Adultery is a physical act, but the spiritual force that instigated it is spiritual, it's not physical. So you cannot overcome adultery, you know, by the women sitting on this side of the church and the men sitting on this side of the church. See, that's a carnal, that's man's method of trying to solve a spiritual problem. You know, in some places, you know, say, okay, to avoid sexual immorality, let in some churches, you know, let some people just, the women will sit on this side. Then in some places, the women will wear a veil. Then all you see is their eye, Eleha. You know, so that if the man does not see her physical body, he will not lust after her. All that is a you're trying to solve a spiritual problem by a physical problem. You know what Jesus said? He said that if you look to a woman and you lust after her, he said you've already committed it. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. Effect is physical, but the origin is spiritual. And you need to understand that. So when you want to overcome these things, you have to put spiritual laws, spiritual forces into operation. We're going to see that how to do that in a minute. You know, through your heart and your mouth primarily. That's why I said the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. If you try and do the word of God any other way, you're not doing it by spiritual forces from God. You're just trying to use a physical and it will crumble under pressure. Under the right set of conditions and they put pressure on you, the person will start doing all kinds of crazy things you didn't think the person could do. Because they didn't deal with the thing from spiritual. That was a problem of Job. Job was a good man, you know, but he wasn't releasing spiritual forces because he wasn't giving spiritual law. So when the enemy was able to come round, he had nothing that was coming out of him in his sphere of influence to be able to, you know, counteract those forces. And that's why God now told him, he said, you darken my counsel without knowledge. The Bible said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Then Job said, I repent. I've spoken of things that are too wonderful to me. Then God said, okay, now, he told his friends, go on, you didn't speak well like Job spoke about me, because Job retained his integrity. He never blamed God. He knew that God was good. He said, though he slay me, yet like, will I trust him? So he said, and God turned Job's captivity. When he prayed, he began to launch spiritual forces. Then God had material with which to work in his circumstances. Don't let what happened to Job happen to you. You can be a good man. There are a lot of good people who are not even born again, who are not Christians, who don't steal, they don't kill, they don't commit adultery. The Bible says in the book of Romans, I think it is, it's chapter 2 in verse 15, it says that, you know, when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature. You see, God is such a good God. Even his mercy in the air, the things contained in the law, they belong to them. So people who are not even born again can do good things. But if they don't learn to put spiritual law into operation, under pressure, that system will crumble. That is why Jesus said, you must be born again. And that's why he said to the rich young ruler, good. He said, looking at him, he loved him. He said, but there's something missing. Oh yeah, go and sell everything you have so it will not distract you from spiritual, from prayer. Then take up your cross and follow me. But the guy wasn't ready to do that. It was Barnabas. We're told church history tells us he did it later in the Acts of the Apostles. Look at Isaiah 59. I like this scripture. I'm going to look at it with a scripture in Psalm 29. Isaiah 59. One of the scriptures that shows us the interplay between spiritual forces. Isaiah 59, a very familiar scripture. And I'm going to look at verse 19. If you look at the preceding verses, we're actually living in this time now. I'm going to talk about this prophetically before I close. We're living now in this time. It was a time when The Bible says that truth is fallen in the streets. He that wants to do good makes himself a prey. I don't know how many of you realize this, but I took note of it when these things were happening. I didn't understand it as clearly as I understand it now, but I knew something was happening. The year was 2014 into 2015. We observed a blood moon. The blood moons, there were four of them. Passover, 2014. Then Tabernacles, 2014. Then Passover, 2015. Then Tabernacles, 2015. They happened in sequence. 6 months, 6 months, 6 months, 6 months. The blood moon was when the moon, and you know, but it actually spiritually, it signified a time of an increase intensity in the spiritual warfare in the heavens. In Nigeria in particular, that Passover was when the Boko Haram people went to pick those girls in Chibok. It happened that very Passover. I found it very significant. I wrote in one of my articles. I said, wow, something is happening here. And I'll tell you what happened. There was an artillery bombardment, spiritually speaking now, from the earth through our prayers and our intercession that was hitting the principalities and powers in the heavenly. But the Bible says the powers of the heavens are shaken. So when they were shaken, they dropped down to the earth. When some of those Nephilim, the fallen ones, when they came into the earth, they had a stronger influence on men than they normally would have had from the heavenlies because of the proximity. That's why we began to see strange things happen. All these years, we've never seen anything like that. Go to a school and just pick up 200 girls. The world hadn't, even the whole world, that time Barack Obama was still president, you know, Michelle Obama, everybody, you know, David Cameron, you know, bring back our girls. The whole world was shaken by what happened in Nigeria. We did not know it was just a beginning. Then something else happened. I've told you all physical events have a spiritual origin. Something that George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and some of the fathers of America in their dreams would never believe would happen. America Supreme Court passed the law authorizing homosexual marriage. It's never happened before. It's this thing that's going on. It's these spirits. They were influencing the thinking of men, influencing the minds of men. What they normally were, the Barack Obama, the president of the United States at that time, in his first term, you know, mommy is Obama's mommy, praise the Lord. She still had a picture of Obama. Honey, I think that picture is still there, you know, by the side of her bed. You know, this was 2008 when we were praying for Obama, you know, to become president, because we took time to find out, you know, pray about him and all of that. You know, I did that. My wife, I did my research on him. I discovered his background, how he was to go to Harvard Law School. He went to Harvard Law School, excuse me, you know, and could have got one of the best jobs in New York. High paying job. He turned it down for service, so that he could serve, you know, local communities in Chicago in the southwest side. Ah! So this man has a heart. And I began to pray, you know, and he actually knew the Lord. He went to a Christian church, you know, and all of that, you know. So he had a brush. He certainly had a brush with God. But if you hear Barack Obama preach sometimes, you will know he really knows God, you know. But something happened to Obama. These were his words. He said, when they asked him, 2007, before he became president, he became president in 2008. What do you believe? He said, marriage is between a man and a woman. No contest. 5 years later, when he was going to, you know, 4 years later, when he was going to run for re-election, what is marriage? He said, I'm evolving. What happened? Some began to change in his thinking. Is this influences I'm talking about? True truth is fallen down in the streets. He that departed from evil makes himself a prey. If you now say you don't want to serve them, you don't fight them, or you're not killing them. You just say, look, my faith does not allow me to bake a cake for you. They'll take you to court. The Bible says, and the Lord saw it. And it displeased him. So God now raised, he already had them on the earth, but he now stepped up their operation of intercession. He said he took, he put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm not going to go into all of that. So we get now to verse 19. So, I didn't hear you. Shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west? Which is very interesting. All the England and America, they're all in the west. Hallelujah. And the glory, his glory from the rising of the sun. That's the east. That would be China, you know, Russia and all of that. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. He's talking about spiritual force. That's why I use the word flood. You know, those of you who've seen, I'm sure all of us have seen this on CNN. When there was a flood in Japan, you know, a tsunami some years ago, you know, and there was even one not too long ago. When you see that thing in operation, even this one that happened in America just a few days ago in New Jersey, when you see the flood, you can see the force. It will carry houses. It will carry cars. It will just, you know, destruction. So that's what the symbolism the Holy Spirit is telling us here. Of the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 12 in verse 15, it says that the water came out of the mouth of the serpent like a flood. Now that's one flood. But I got good news for you. So when the enemy comes in like a destructive flood, he said the Spirit of the Lord, everybody give the Lord a clap offering for the Holy Ghost, will raise a what? Standard against him. Another flood. There is one flood that is bigger than another flood. Are you listening to me? I talk about an interplay of spiritual forces. There is this one that is coming from the devil. Then there is one that God raised up. You know, I put it in my Bible, you know, my personal Bible, my personal confessions, you know, by his power and his angels. That's how God raises standard. So the enemy has released a force. Then God releases a greater force. So the enemy and his angels have released a certain force that's causing all these terrible conditions we're seeing on the earth. See, everything we're seeing now is no longer natural. The kind of crime, the kind of immorality, the type of rebellion we're seeing now is very unnatural. There was evil before, but it stepped up. Like I gave the example of what happened in 2014, 2015. You know, and since then Donald Trump became president. We hadn't seen anything like it. We hadn't seen anything like it. God certainly used him very well in some areas. Then there were other areas that, my goodness. And up till now, then there was that assault on the Capitol building in America, and they wanted to upturn the election. America had never seen anything like it. It was unnatural, the way people were behaving. Up till now, some people are still denying some things. It's the devil operating in their mind. They don't understand it, you know, and through their dishonesty of heart, you know, there is no COVID. COVID is the mark of the beast. You know, the vaccine is the mark of the beast. Don't take the vaccine. By now, we should have gotten rid of COVID completely. If the larger number of the population had taken the vaccination, they would not have become incubation factories for that virus to begin to mutate. So now we're getting all kinds of mutations. We've gotten Delta. There's another one that doesn't see now. It's called Lambda. Because of the disobedience of men. If people had taken the vaccine, if enough people had taken the vaccine, we would have quenched it. But I know something that will always quench it. By his stripes you were healed. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. No variant can overcome that. Now, that's why ultimately our faith must not be in science only. We use science, and we use doctors. Thank God. But ultimately, my faith is not in science and in doctors. My faith is in God. That gives the doctors their wisdom and gives them even the vaccine. They got it within 1 year. Record. Most vaccines take years to get through intercession and prayer. What am I painting? I'm painting a picture of an interplay of spiritual forces that are presently operating on the earth. Look at the corruption in Nigeria. It's unnatural. It's unnatural. The lies, the corruption of the politicians, the kind of way they behave. Some will sacrifice their own children to get power. Kill people and go to witch doctors to concatenate spiritual power to put them in positions of office. Governor, president, and all of that. All that nonsense is going to stop. You know why? We got a bigger flood coming. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him. Now look at Psalm 29. And then we're going to see how these things are done and then we'll close. Am I helping anybody here? I didn't hear you. You sound quite muted this morning. Hello? Look at Psalm 29. Look at verse 3. The voice of the Lord is upon, I would say upon, the waters. The glory of God thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. What are those waters? The waters are the negative, the flood of the devil that Satan has released through his people. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 17, in verse 15, it said, the waters you saw are peoples and tongues and kindred. These are but the Bible says the voice of the Lord is upon it. Then look at verse 10. No, verse 4 and then verse 10. The voice of the Lord is powerful. Everyone say, the voice of the Lord is powerful. Say, he upholds all things by the word of his power. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the scepters. You know, what is coming from God is so powerful. Now let's jump to verse 10. You know, we could go and look, but I don't want to waste time. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. I didn't hear you. The Lord sitteth king forever. Give the Lord a clap offering. You now understand better. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. There is a picture God wants me to paint to you. I think I've said this sometime over the years, but I want to say it now in this context of understanding spiritual forces. When you pray, when we pray, particularly, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. See, there are three ways you launch spiritual forces for the born-again Christian. We have three ways. Incidentally, the unbeliever only has one way because he only speaks in one language. He's limited to his natural language. But we can launch spiritual forces with our natural language. We can launch spiritual forces with tongues. Then we can launch spiritual forces with groanings. Woo! A threefold cord is not easily broken. That's why we win. Our forces are far superior. Not just superior, far superior to anything the enemy has. Now, I'm going to paint a picture to you. This is what people don't understand. This is what really happens. When I am on earth, I'm here in my physical body, but I'm a spirit. Because I am a spirit and I have the Spirit of God inside me, I have influence in the heavens. I'm here, true. But my spirit is connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God the Father. So I am seated with Christ in the heavenlies, even though I am living on earth. Is this clear? The spiritual connection is so wonderful and great that even though I am here on earth, my commands are coming from the heavenlies. This is reality. This is not make-believe. This is reality. I am on earth. But I am seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Even though I'm physically on earth. It's just like, let me give an example. I've used this illustration before. You know, Joe Biden is now president of the United States. Yesterday, I was watching him on CNN. He went to some place in Louisiana, you know, where they had the flood. He was wearing a t-shirt, short sleeve, with a hat, and, you know, some dark glasses and all of that. He's no less president. He does not have to be in the Oval Office to give a command to the Pentagon. All he needs to do is pick his phone and say, am I speaking to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? X, Y, Z, you know, let it be done. It's going to be done instantly. His physical location does not do away with the authenticity of his presidential authority. So it is with you. You are on earth, but you are exercising authority from the heavenly places. Is it clear? So, what happens? You pray and you speak God's word. You pray in tongues. You groan. You travail. Power is coming. Say, out of his belly shall flow rivers, a flood of living water. You're on earth. Your authority is from heaven. So the power of God is backing you from the throne. You are now releasing a power into the air. Satan and his people, principalities and powers, rulers of darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places, and evil spirits of men, you know, that are associated with the devil. They also are talking by the blessing of the upright. The city is exalted, but is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked, an interplay. So they also are talking and releasing spiritual forces. Now, this is what happens. This is reality. This, what I'm about to show you now, is the spiritual reality of wrestling. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. What the, you know what happens in a wrestling match physically? If I'm wrestling with Professor Lokpade, we will not wrestle in Jesus' name. My hand will touch his hand. His hand will touch my own. Then he will try and push me down. Or I will be trying to push him down. That's what wrestling is, isn't it? You know, and the person that pins the other person on the ground and keeps in and say, 1, 2, 3, then that person wins. Isn't that right? Spiritually, that's what's happening. The power that is coming from the enemy and his people is in the air. The power that is coming from us is in the air. The two powers clash. Then they wrestle. There's actually a clash in the heavenlies, in the air, spiritually. It's an invisible, this is understanding spiritual forces. So that clash is happening. It's exactly what the Bible, you know, the Bible is so precise. It's revelation knowledge. It's wrestling. It's like this. So it is the more powerful one that prevails and pins the other one down. Ah! Honey, I just remembered a scripture. This will help you. That's why the Bible is full of symbolisms. Joshua. Joshua enters the promised land. Then they take Jericho. They make a mistake. Then later on they take Ai. Then they take a lot of kings. Then some of the kings run into a cave to go and hide. How many people remember that story? That's why you need to know your Bible. The Holy Ghost was given by revelation now. You understand? You know, then the Bible says that they put a stone on the cave. Then in the evening they opened it. Then they brought them down. Then you know what Joshua did? He said they should lie all of them down. Then he told his leader, he said, put your leg on their neck. It's a symbolism. He says, so shall the Lord thy God do to all your enemies. Put your leg on Satan's neck. We're going to destroy all his people and all his forces. You know why? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That's the meaning of that scripture. So when there's a rest, when there's a clash in the heavens, don't stop praying. Daniel didn't quit after 5 days. He was wrestling. In 21 days, he pinned the enemy down and kept him down. Give him a clap offering. Hallelujah. So that's why you don't just pray and stop. Remember, I preached this message many, many years ago. Not too many. You know, Elisha's arrows. The king, Elisha told him, he said, fire an arrow towards the place of the Syrians. It's symbolic reality of spiritual forces. The guy took the arrow and fired 3 times. The prophet was angry. He said, why did you stop? Turn to your neighbor. You must not stop praying. Pray without ceasing. Then he said, if you had fired 5 or 6 times, he said, then you would have completely decimated the armies of the Syrians. So it is with us in prayer. Don't stop. Don't pity the devil. He will not pity you. Go for the kill. You are allowed to assassinate. Remember, it reminds me of James Bond. 007, license to kill. You are licensed to kill. You are licensed to kill the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Hello, James Bond. Are you listening to me? It's reality. Reality. So we clash. That's why it's a wrestle. You know? It doesn't just mean you hit him once and then he just goes down. No. He will resist. Then you keep doing it. You keep doing it. You keep doing it. But you see, greater is he that's in you. That he's not as strong as you. Watch this. And this will bless you. He knows that more than you know it. I'm telling you the truth. Satan knows you are stronger than him. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. That's a fact. The devil knows it, and he believes it more than most Christians. So he tries to deceive you into thinking he's stronger than you, but he's not. The only reason why he wins is that many times you stop. You pray, psh, 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 and then you stop. Don't stop. Pray without ceasing. Good morning, Jesus. Pray. Then after good morning, Jesus, pray. Throughout the day, pray. Every 6 hours, pray. In between, pray. Then you put that guy under tremendous pressure and you will overcome him. We got to close. This is the prophetic part I'm about to tell us. We are on the verge of the greatest clash of spiritual forces ever witnessed on the earth. God is about to invade the earth through his sons to dislodge satanic strongholds that have dominated man since the fall of Adam. Pastor Lalu spoke about this when he was talking about the introduction, that we may deliver creation from the bondage of corruption. That is one of the mandates of the manifestation of the sons of God. Ever since the fall of Adam, when Jesus was around, Jesus just did a little bit and then he went. In Jesus' sphere of influence, it happened. But then Jesus died. Then the church too took over for some time, and then Satan deceived them. They didn't have a complete Bible. They had the Old Testament. The New Testament was being written. You know, then he quickly killed all of them. Killed Peter, killed James, killed Paul, killed all of them. Thank God they had written the books before they died, you know. And we went to dark ages. He took over again. And since that time up till now, he's really dominated majority. God's influence has been on the earth here and there, but he's dominated majority. But that is about to change. Isaiah 25. Oh, glory to God. Honey, this should excite you. Hallelujah. Isaiah 25. And look at verse. You see, I'm going to say something. Although she's my wife, I'm going to say it anyway. He said, and he will destroy. I didn't hear you. I said, he will destroy. In this mountain, the face of the covering cast over some people. I'm talking about the greatest spiritual assault that the earth has ever seen is being prepared as I speak. And the veil that is spread over some nations is a spiritual thing. Over all these years, Satan has had this veil that's cast over the hearts of people, over all nations. He has dominated. You know, he's about to be dislodged. Particularly Nigeria. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! This will be similar. Pastor G, for those of you who are World War II students, to the invasion of the Allied forces on France and mainland Europe on D-Day. D-Day changed everything. From 1940 to 1944, Adolf Hitler and his Nazi armies, they dominated the whole of mainland Europe. All of France, Belgium, Holland, the Netherlands, Norway, everywhere, even as far as Greece. And they were, it was a stronghold. He got Rommel, one of his most brilliant generals, and others, you know, to build what is known as the Atlantic Wall. They had fortified everything. So you know what the Allies did? They kept fighting. You know, just like us now, we're praying, we're fighting. You know, there was an Italian campaign, you know, there was a North African campaign, you know, so we've been making progress. But there was a major move that had to take place, which was the invasion of Europe. So what they did, which is what God is doing as I'm speaking now, was to build up forces, tanks, planes, intelligence, all kinds of forces were being built in England. That's why it was so strategic England was not captured. Because England was the launching pad of the Allied forces. They didn't do it in a hurry. If you know a little bit of the history of World War II, you'll discover that Hitler attacked Russia in 1941. Operation Barbarossa. As early as 1942, Stalin, who came into, joint forces with Britain and America, started pressuring the Americans. He said, pressuring them and the British that they should open a second front in Europe. Roosevelt and Churchill told him, we are going to, but we can't do it too quickly. Hitler's forces are very strong. We have to build up our forces to a particular level before we can launch it. They tried again, 1943. It says too early. There's no point us doing that thing and then we lose. So 1943, there was North Africa, you know, then there were 1942, North Africa, then they did a little bit of from Italy and all of that, called the soft underbelly. They did a little bit of that, but that was not the real thing. They waited until their forces were at a peak. Fresh troops, fresh armies, fresh tanks, fresh everything. Then they did intelligence. The Germans swore, you know, believed with all their heart that they were going to build the invasion around the most popular American general called General Patton. And they believed he was going to launch the campaign from a place called the Port of Calais. It's just opposite from the channel, from England. And the British and the Americans were very smart. So they built a fictitious army around Patton, as if it was true. They made tanks that were made up of rubber and balloon. But if you're looking at it from the air, reconnaissance, you think it's a real tank. Built an imaginary army. Simulated radio traffic. So they were sending radio signal to Patton and a lot of generals around him. So the German intelligence picked up all those signals. So they were 100% convinced that Patton was going to lead the landing on D-Day onto the French coast, and he was going to launch from the port of Calais. They believed it. But what they didn't know was that the British were not going to, the Americans were not going to do that. What they did was that they now went to the Normandy coast, where there wasn't too much resistance. There was resistance, but not like Port of Calais, where the Germans were really ready. And then they launched D-Day, which is 6th of June, 1944. They did it with intelligence. They checked the weather. In fact, the weather was so bad. They were supposed to go on 4th of June. The weather was so bad over the channel. Then all of a sudden, there was an opening on the 6th of June. And then they took it. You know what happened? By the time they hit the French coast, Rommel was at home with his wife. Adolf Hitler was sleeping. Complete surprise. Then they came in such force and in such numbers that on that day one, it's called the longest day, they had a foothold in France and they began to speed depth towards Paris. By July, Paris was liberated and, you know, they pushed the German and then World War II ended. The point I'm making is this. As we are speaking now, see, people are wondering, what is God doing? Look at Nigeria. Look at this. Look at this. You know, where is God? He's building his forces. Lord, have mercy. God, in these last 25 years, beginning at the beginning of the third day, 1996, has been building up a spiritual army of prayer warriors that will spearhead this attack, teaching them to perfect the love of God so that all their words, their praying in tongues and their groanings will be effective. Though I speak with tongues of men of angels, if I don't have love, it's not going to work. The enemy is very clever. He doesn't care you to pray in tongues, so long as there's strife between you and your wife. I just use that as an example. Or you're quarreling with somebody and you didn't forgive them. Your tongue is not going to work. He knows that better than you do. That is why using the blood, the word, and the spirit is vital to perfect the love of God so that our forces can be effective. Our words will be effective. Our tongues will be effective. Our groanings will be effective. Am I talking to anybody here? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. In particular, in the last 3 years, since 2018, by the grace and the mercy of God through my wife, a spiritual special forces unit is being prepared to be the tip of this attack. It will. I'm not saying that's the only one that God's going to use. I said tip. See, when you have a spearhead, you got to pull this thing. But the tip of it. See, I was sharing with somebody. They said, oh, you're always talking as if Jumanji is the only place where people can pray. I said, I never said that. I said, how can I say that? I can never say good morning, Jesus. I said, but the unique thing about good morning, Jesus, is that as far as I know, and I'm willing to be corrected. If you have that information, send it to me. Where you're going to use the blood to cleanse, you're going to put on the fear of God, you're going to put on the whole armor of God, you're going to put the life of God, then pray in the Spirit. As far as I know, that's the place where, that's the only place for now. A lot of people are going to come with it later on, where all that is being done consistently and systematically, because it is a pattern to make the praying effective and to avail much. So that is why it is the tip of the spearhead. It's not going to be the only one, but it is the tip of the spearhead. I find it very interesting. Why 2018? God knows what's coming. And this is 2021. So you got 3 years. He says, the third year I'll be perfected. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. It will start with a sudden. Just like what happened, you know, when the Allied forces hit the Normandy beaches. It was the Germans knew there was an attack coming, but they didn't know where it was coming from. So when it hit, it was sudden. It threw them into confusion. In fact, when they first radioed Hitler and Rommel was a little bit smarter, but Hitler was very conceited, and his pride was one of the things that killed him. When they phoned him and some of the generals, they said, "Oh, the Allies have, you know, landed some forces on Normandy." He said, it's just a feint. They're deceiving us. It's not the real attack. They're just allowing that to some, so that it will divert, so that we can divert our forces to that place. Let's keep our forces in the port of Calais. The real something is coming to the port of Calais. They were completely deceived. So by the time they realized that it was the actual something, it was too late. The Bible says, the Lord whom you seek shall what? Suddenly come to his temple. I'll give you one last scripture as I close. It's in Isaiah chapter 30. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Am I helping anybody here? Understanding spiritual forces. Isaiah 30. Scriptures that are not very familiar. If you're a good Bible student, you will know it. Look at what it says. It's in verse 13. Isaiah chapter 30 is in verse 13. He said, therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh what? And in an suddenly. The devil and his people won't know what hit them. But they will try and rally around. By the time, praise the Lord. By the time they realize what is on them. And let me read the last part of this. I wrote it down as I was praying. God, it will start with a sudden manifestation of the fire of the glory of God by the power of the Spirit without measure, greater than the manifestation of the day of Pentecost, to do the works the Lord Jesus did and greater. Stand to your feet. So let everybody wake up, folks. You're not doing good money in Jesus just for fun. God is training an army. Ah, the army, there are different levels. There are generals. There are 4-star generals. There are 3-star generals. There are 2-star generals. There are 1-star generals. There are colonels. There are officers. There's infantry. Turn to your neighbor and say, everybody has a part. Everybody is important in their place. I need every gun firing. And don't stop only with good morning, Jesus. Start with that. Then during the day, once every 6 hours, you pray to release those spiritual forces. I love God more with all my heart, my will, my emotions. I love my brain. Then you pray in tongues. In between, you pray in tongues. Keep firing all of that is being concatenated. The word that means to connect, to gather together, is being concatenated by the Holy Spirit, hitting the enemy. And you know the person who is suffering the most? Satan. And he knows that what he's trying to do is to distract us so that you can lower the volume. You don't need to pray that more. Yeah, sleep, 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 sleep. You know, you need to relax now. Yeah, relax. Like he told David to relax when kings went to battle. Relax, relax, relax. You know, God knows. God is not a sleeper. He relax. We're not going to relax. We're going to keep him under pressure until the glory comes. And I got another tweet. And then we're going to continue after the glory. See, Jesus didn't stop praying after the glory. He stepped it up. So the Genesis, oh, the glory has come and we have miracles and all of that. And everybody, no! We are going to continue this thing until the rapture. We're going to completely decimate Satan and all his forces so that we can take the gospel of the kingdom and make disciples in every tribe, tongue, and kindred before the end comes. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. We are now a people prepared.
We are now a people prepared, made holy and clean by the blood of the Lamb.
Watching
and praying for Jesus' return.
Preparing our hearts.
From the water of life in the city
where the Lord
is the Lord.
We hear you say,
you are coming soon.
The
Spirit and the bride say, come. This is the day.
Reigning
over all.
Reigning, Jesus is reigning.
God.
Love and pray.
Oh, glory to God.
With hearts ablaze.
We now arise.
We now arise.
We now arise.
Let thy kingdom come with power.
And we are now.
And we are now.
The people prepared.
Holy and clean by the blood of the Lamb.
Watching and praying.
Watching and praying for Jesus' return.
Preparing our hearts.
Preparing our hearts.
Like a bride.
Like a bride that's
prepared. Filling our dreams.
Filling our dreams.
From the water of life in the sea.
Where the Lord God.
Where the Lord is God.
The Spirit of the Lord.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand to God.
Jesus is reigning over all.
Building His church.
Hearts ablaze.
We now arise.
We now arise.
Let thy kingdom, hallelujah.
Thy kingdom come with power.
And we are now.
And we are now.
We are now.
Sing it to yourself.
Holy and
by the Lord,
by the blood of the Lamb,
watching and praying,
watching and praying for Jesus' return,
preparing our hearts
like
a bride,
like a bride getting ready.
We now drink,
we now drink from the water of life in the city.
Yeah, the Lord,
where the Lord is the Lord.
We hear you say,
you are coming soon.
And the Spirit and the Bride. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I didn't hear you. I thank you for your word. Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, your life and your power in sufficient measure. Father, thank you for enlightening me further to understand the reality of spiritual forces that are determining what the events that are taking place upon the earth, particularly in this hour where there has been an escalation of the spiritual warfare in the heavenlies, because the man-child is about to be birthed into the earth. My Father and my God, have mercy on me. Oh God, have mercy on me. Oh God, have mercy on me. Your Bible tells me that by mercy I will not be consumed. By mercy I will not faint or be discouraged. By mercy I will be faithful. And by mercy I will prevail. I receive mercy at all these four levels. In this intense warfare that we are in now, by your mercy I will not be consumed. By your mercy I will not faint. I will not be discouraged. By your mercy I will be faithful. And by your mercy I will prevail. Oh God, have mercy on me. In all these four areas, mercy to pray. And not just to pray, effectually and fervently. So my prayers will avail much. To pray without ceasing, so that I will overcome principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in the heavenlies, and dislodge them from the air, over my personal heavenlies, over my sphere of influence. So it is you who will reign in the air over my circumstances, over my sphere of influence. Yes, in my experience, thy kingdom, thy dominion will come, and thy will be done in my life, in my children, in my wife, in my circumstances, in my environment, in my finances, in everything that concerns me, in my sphere of influence. The kingdom of God will be enforced, and his will be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy by the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Rikatoske frenengaras. Liprikato fredes. Neleka shali kokoko fredes. Lopridikato fredes. Mercy, Father. Salaprakatolomo to fredes. Lord Jesus, thank you. Rabatolomo to fredelemas. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you. Liprikatolomo to fredes. Thank you for your blood. Shiliketo fredes. Lamatu fredengaras. Thank you for your life. Jeleprikatolomo to fredelema to fredes. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, for your power, your Spirit. Liprikatolomo to fredela matu fredengaros. Jelika run to freden in our souls. Liprikatolomo fredengaros in our bodies. Liprikatolomo to fredengaros in our circumstances. Liprikatolomo to fredes in our regional heavenlies. Rikatu fres to fredele ramatusko fre lombridisko fredega. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're here, you need healing for your body, or you need deliverance for your mind. Just touch your body wherever the pain is or the discomfort is. Then, or touch your forehead if what you need is deliverance. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them. The power is in the air. The Bible says, and Jesus preached, and the power of the Lord was present. It is present to heal them. Father, I come against spirits of infirmity, spirits of oppression, depression that are keeping your people in any type of bondage or oppression. I cast you out. I destroy your works. I resist and I bind you in Jesus' name. I loose the angels of God with the seven spirits of God. I say the word has been sent forth, the healing word, and it is life and medicine to all their flesh now in Jesus' name. Amen. Just say, I receive my healing. I receive my deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mommy. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I told you last week, it's advanced level now. Playtime is over. This is real war. Real. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts on you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of Daniel, of Esther, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you wrestle and overcome all spiritual forces in the heavenly places, and no bones are broken. The wicked one will not be able to touch you, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. God bless you. Have a great week.